Welcome to House Common Blood, where the strangers are family. Every episode contains graphic content, including but not limited to copious amounts of blood, unnecessary cursing, death of all ages, be they infants or immortals, fantasy drug use, nudity, mentions of sex, and sound effects of various qualities. We cannot stress enough that this is mature content with adult themes. You have been warned. May the albatross guide your way.
Welcome to House Common Blood. I'm Gray, your DM and host, and we're a D&D 5e podcast currently playing the adventure Hangman, Worms of Frostheart. The story follows a group of misfits facing sentient calamities threatening to destroy the world, led by a Genasi army called the Rebirth Bastion. I'm joined here today by Mega.
Hello, I am Mega, and I play Eddie, the Autoboy Triton Bastard class. I also play Eddie. It's a special best friend, slash brother, slash whatever the fuck, as well as any other character that happens to have a similarly named scheme.
As well as Aluya.
Hi there, Nita here. I play Aluya Oblak, the human cleric sorcerer.
As well as Rakuzan.
Howdy everyone, I'm Rakuzan. I play Mavet Sohafidash, the glue that holds the party together.
And finally, Moo.
Hey, I play Seer, and I might get murdered because I'm on fire, but also people don't like fire, so they don't like me.
Alright. Before I take the wheel here, can anyone even give me an inkling of what happened last session?
So, we set sail on our new fishy friends. Mavet's name is Fishy. And as we were exploring, we came across Ratog, and he was making his way to the specific island. Oh, he's going crazy, and he's going to die soon. And Mavet and Aluya came across some ships that were sinking due to battle of two different factions. Mavet decided to go underwater, search for more treasure, found a few resurrected corpses, and as he was coming back up with the treasure and people, some lights started happening.
That is correct. Do you remember the allies you're bringing beneath the water to the surface?
They're not really important. They're gonna die soon too.
Okay. So a shit ton of storm genasis that died from a capsized boat rise with a recusant to the surface to be dealt with. Mavet, please give yourself 2d10 gold. So the big dealio that we're gonna deal with here is, yes, you guys are in the midst of a ship graveyard, and the storm is rolling over the entire area. So the crashing waves come around all of you in this ship graveyard. The storm is rolling across the sky. We see flickers of blue lightning flickering in the sky itself. And every few seconds, we see it crashing down on an unsuspecting bird, turned into crisp in a burst of feathers and a charred skin. But as we follow the pattering of the rain across the raging tides, we see our group within the graveyard. Now, I kind of want to pivot the camera's focus a little bit towards the two players that didn't really get established in the scene. And that's towards Eddie and Seer. I kind of want to imagine for one reason or other you guys had to linger back. Perhaps you guys had like a small conversation or had to deal with some minute detail while lingering behind the group.
Honestly, I almost want to imagine like because of a situation that happened like earlier, I believe in that same day, just like, you know, like Eddie just kind of like going on like a long talk about, or like a long, like, you know, like a, possibly, like possibly while smoking, just like, you know, like a, you know, like a, imagining just like, imagine just like actually doing drugs and going to actually another place, and just like going on like a long like a monologue about like a, what that experience must be like, and maybe just like Seer was completely fascinated by it.
Seer's literally taking notes, staring, going like, uh-huh, keep going, I don't mind, keep going. I'm gonna put a little note here saying not for children.
Not for children.
I would agree that the unseen public is probably not for children.
Uh-huh.
The situation at hand, as you guys were lingering, talking, you just seen Mavet and his hippocampus submerge themselves underneath the water. And they haven't been up for, I believe, 20, 25 minutes. And I believe Aluya was the one fretting over them, or at least keeping up communications. Can you give me a little bit of a reminder, Aluya? Did you have some kind of telepathic connection, or was that more of a system that you had going on?
It was a message, and I guess he had Fishy on standby if something happened to alert me.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and like I described before, we see like a top-down bird's-eye view of you, Aluya, as we see like the shadow of Mavet and his stallion rising to the surface, followed by one blinking light, then two, then four, then eight, then 12 underneath the water, until you just see like a strobe of light underneath the black waters. Mavet, you're the first one to surface. What do you say to Aluya and possibly the group as you rise?
Hello, everyone. I'm back. I brought some friends. They promised not to hurt us, or else I would end them.
How did you find these people?
Well, I went under. I found a ship there. I broke the ship, and I saved the people. But they promised that if, since I saved them, you guys wouldn't need saving.
So they're cool and whatnot?
Yes, by force.
Hello? Are any of you hurt or anything?
Alright. Unless Eddie or Seer have anything they want to say or do, I can move on to the creatures surfacing here.
I actually would probably be watching the creatures more, since the key thing is that Seer is incredibly invested with Genasi things, so probably I'm waiting patiently to see if I need to offer any services and also teach them. Hey, if you're a Genasi, first off, candles are great.
All right. That's the case. We see the first one surfacing, like, we see, like, a small coil of electricity, like, going down its frame. As they look remarkably similar to Aluya's composition as a Genasi, as they rise up one by one. I believe I said to you, Mavet, last time you talked to them, that there was one Genasi in particular that was their representative that spoke towards them. This is a handful of people. I would gauge between 10 and 20. So like a good handful. As they rise here, first one scans the area. And what did you say, Aluya?
She said, hello, does anyone need help? Are you hurt?
Yes, we are hurt. Please, please help us.
And you just see him, like, hyperventilating, but, give me a medicine with disadvantage. I'll offer you the roll, Aluya, you specifically.
With disadvantage?
Yeah, with disadvantage, and it's purely because I'm abiding by your own restrictions here. All right, there you go.
Gosh damn it, one of them was at 18.
Yeah, I was going to say, the main reason I had you roll at disadvantage is because I don't believe Aluya recognizes that this like form of Genasi doesn't need to breathe. But these newborns essentially are, or at least this person in particular, is hyperventilating as he's getting to the surface. For the first time seeing the storm swimming across the waves, trying to maintain their float without being drowned.
Please, please help us.
And there is a bunch of shipwrecks that you can use as surfaces, or you can maintain conversation while they're swimming in the water.
She'll just say, give me a moment, I'll help you. She'll try and, her and Clip-Clop are going to try and push like large pieces of wood towards them so they can go on top of it or hang on to it.
Okay, so Clip-Clop is grabbing a floating chunk of wood and going to provide it as a surface for them to hold on to. Understanding that right?
Yes.
You do so, and as you find a chunk of wood, you see a Clip-Clop sniffing stranger's neck, then just grunt with disappointment. How would that sound, Aluya?
Bleh.
You hear it bleh. But, yes, the, as the, Genasi, all, like, get chunks of wood or, you know, get some way of stabilizing themselves, like, on surface level here, you see that, all them are looking towards, one another, and you see even the leader as he, regains his, breathing, look towards, you, Aluya, since you're taking charge of the situation a little bit here. And the man asks you,
"Oh, where can we go? What can we do?"
I'm not sure quite the distance, but there is land that way. We're currently going somewhere else, but we don't want to leave you here. There was like a rat thing also in the water. But I think he left as well. Well, I guess we can find you the biggest pieces of wood and find maybe an oar or something. Or maybe there's like a little dinghy boat on one of these ships and you guys could go back to land.
Okay. You're thinking about finding a little dinghy boat for them to sail across with. And you're planning to send them to Eddie's Island, Tandeka Island?
Yes.
Aluya, are you like sure about that?
Well, where can they go, Eddie?
I mean, like, you could send a Tandeka, but, like, just kind of, like, gestures at them.
It doesn't click for her because she doesn't care about her appearance.
Well, I mean, they'd, like, need help and whatnot, so your people seem chill enough.
So Eddie's sending message. They're, like, Genasi. They'll, like, probably get killed on sight.
Oh, right, because of that. Yeah, that's a stupid, but... Sure, they should be safe somewhere else. I just don't know where that place would be. I mean, should they follow us?
Actually, maybe like Eddie would kind of like look toward that's like, do you dudes like have any survival skills?
The leader, the representative of the group says,
yes, I don't know how, but I do have a few callings for survival. It's guiding me.
Sierra kind of makes the sound and goes like, how long have you been down there?
Yeah, this would have to be investigation.
I got a 25.
There you go. Works out. So gauging by the battle, you'd say that this was fairly recent, like within a day. Just judging by the shipwreck and how fresh the corpses are, as a lot of them are bloated and still washing above the crashing waves here. You can only assume that the ship that got capsized was during that battle.
Well, that gives me a lot of info because it means then we figure out the gap in their memory versus what happened with Aluya where they retained most of their memories. It means that if it's longer than a day, they already start forgetting things, for a lot of things.
Mm.
Then that means I'll probably have to be like looking to the group and be like, I can handle talking to them and helping them manage themselves as well as wrapping and tying things together so that they can be at least above water. But I think you might all need to look to, like, Eddie and Mavet, take care of the future problems that might occur.
Mavet would like to look for rope among the wreckage in order to fashion a water chariot to use our hippocampus for.
Now, I can guarantee the rope just because there's a lot of rigging. Like, there's an ungodly amount of rigging and rope. The only thing it costs you is time. So if you're working on this...
I'll work on that while they're talking.
Yeah. I'll leave it more towards a... Well, it depends. Are you... No. This is a mess. You're going to have to use a lot of strength here. I'm going to offer you an athletics check. Don't worry. Depending on how well you roll is how fast this goes along. Like, it's not about chance of failure. It's more of how long this will take. Yeah, during the course of the conversation, you get enough rope that you'd need. I would say a good 100 feet. No, it's actually better if I say two coils of rope that are about 50 feet long. Seems more realistic.
Regardless, though, we might as well get you ready to not be here any further. It's just we have to take care of some other things here, too.
Yeah, like, I'll go down to the shipwreck. It's like, what, straight down?
Just make sure that none kind of just float up, as I would describe, making the ship situation worse.
Yeah, no, I get your meaning. I'll be, like, back in a sec. You, since maybe they've already forgot that part, you might want to fill them in on their, I guess, possibilities for places to go.
That is the plan. The worst case scenario is that we have to bring them to land first and then they figure their way out after that. Alicia, help me out with that. Not a problem.
Yep, can do.
In which case, Eddie will go down with the sea fire and take care of the problem.
Yeah, if you do so, like, you go down there, and just like I told Mavet, there were, like, an equal number of undead creatures in that boat itself. Yes, if you go down there and annihilate all of them, just flavor it up for me as you go to this capsized, turned-over boat on the bottom of these waters.
I actually almost want to imagine just, like, as Eddie and Seafire are going about dealing with the corpses left behind, that the waters down around this ship start to get increasingly like a darker and murkier, as essentially the area is becoming increasingly like more suffused with their ashen remains. Just kind of like a begins to disperse and like finds another one. Begins to disperse and it just like starts building up all over the place. It might actually take a bit before it like fully diffuses away from that situation.
Yeah, I was gonna say I believe this activity would take you about 10 minutes underneath the water, one at a time, executing these undead counterparts. I'm going to say, just as a reminder, because I didn't mention her during the travels too often. But
yeah, I remember she's there. You just, yeah, she hasn't really been like talking or brought up or.
Oh, I forgot all about her.
Jelenua, the general's daughter, has been following you guys on her own steed. I'm going to say, because I do feel like it is appropriate considering all the crazy events that are happening in the giant storms. She's been doing her best braving the waves, and she's just been having a stern but silent, like, pondering look to her. And I'm going to say, at this point, like, approaching, like, the group, like, surveying the situation as Eddie does his dirty deeds under the water, she would, I think she would openly ask the group,
Are we going to be helping them?
Just looking at each one of the party members with a very strange look.
It's the middle of a storm. I don't think we can do anything for them.
I mean, in your own consciousness, do you think if you have the capabilities, you just simply leave? At least an attempt.
And you just see her, like, I kind of want to imagine her hand is, like, over her heart, and she's just grasping at the cloth. Just like a nervous tick.
We'll either be killed by the storm or killed by any island that we send them to. What are your plans?
Looks to them and very much just says, in all of our cases, what we always try to do is our best. And I say this is mainly because, honestly, as you've seen us, as you witnessed us, we are very prevalent. So I think they can do what many people have done before, and that is survive. Even in the harsh situation. We just make it the most optimal as we can. It's either they die here, or they die over there. Very much straightforward.
Look, I guess she would look towards the tree man and the other Genasi to see if they shared that view.
I agree. They would die here if they don't come with us. But if they do come with us, Just a reminder, if they hurt us, they could die by me too.
Lastly, what I can say is that allies are made through harsh situations. We could say this is a very harsh one.
What does Luya have to say?
Well, it's better to give them the information and a chance to live their life in this current state. It is now their choice. Why take it from them too?
Yeah, I'm going to say at this point, around 10 minutes have passed, Eddie, and your job is done. As
you know, the bright side is that because they're in the middle of the ocean, just like the dirty job is still looks pretty clean, all things considered. just looks wet. And even then, the water is just kind of like gliding off of his body, so...
Yes, but you secured their memories. Like, whatever skills that they have, whatever memories that they have, they will retain.
Oh, boy.
Leva got all of them.
Good. If we didn't take care of that situation, their fates would have been destined to be doomed, as I would describe it. Then, the hard part. How many people are there in total, Gray, out of curiosity?
Between 10 and 20 for now. I guess my semi-solid number will be 16 until I forget that number.
All right, we'll stick with 16 because the key thing is that I'll help basically Mavet to make some riggings and securing it, since I can do quickly, just smash things together if I need to. Mm. And then I could just make it so that we don't have to make a boat. We just have to make it so that they don't have to swim. And then we just pull the rope, anything that's securing it, and then just drag them along with us.
And the main reason that I asked for a check, again, isn't for a chance of failure. It's more towards time, or how often you guys need to stop along your journey to fix it. But give me a sleight of hand intelligence. I'll offer you the role. I assume you're the one doing it, Seer?
Oh, yeah.
We'll always help with a gay dance.
Make a sturdy knot. You make a makeshift... Yeah, I'll let you take the honors. What does this look like?
Let's look at Mavet's little twine. I want to see.
I can see where the inspiration came from.
So it is, we will be tying the two lengths of rope to Fishy, and Fishy will tug a mended piece of wood together large enough to carry as many bodies as we can. And then Mavet is going to use his fancy new item to give us a power boost. What is that fancy item, you may ask? The decanter of endless water. All right, Seer, I think you tie it here.
So, like, the way I see it, we really only have, like, a couple options for them. Either we put them on, like, a side island, so, like, you know, like, where, like, nobody goes, but, like, has enough stuff for them to survive on. Or there is a spot on the main island that nobody goes to that they can stay instead.
Get to hide on the main island. Maybe they could figure out a way to hide themselves and get other resources or move to somewhere else. I don't know.
I mean, I think of two solutions that would be rather depressing. Well, not depressing, one would guarantee a better chance. So if we do send them back to your home island, Eddie, we can always send a messenger before they get there with the other group to aid them, if that makes sense. So we already gained favor with the people we're about to encounter, so they can at least secure them safety if we give them a heads up. It would mean that we would aid our possible future enemies with more people, but it means then it guarantees there's a chance they survive longer, if that makes sense.
But maybe when that point comes, they were like, oh, they saved us, so we can't go against them. Our hearts would not work that way.
It depends on the structure, but that's why I also secure their memories, which means at least they won't be going blind, where in my case and many others, when you forget everything, you forget a lot everything.
Well, Mavet can talk to them again. I've already made them the promise of their death if they hurt us. Why not have them join us and take the battle with them and then secure a home for all of us?
If I may, I want to provide a little bit more clarity on the options here. And let me put it out there. These are the two basic options. You guys have a lot more a lot more to pick from, but you know, quite simply, you have either your destination, the Tidewind Channel, or Tandeka Island as a potential resting place, throwing aside the potential land masses in between you guys and the destination along the way. Those are two for sure safe spots, but obviously with Tandeka Island, you have the issue with, you know, backtracking, wasting time, and the presence of the Rebirth Bastion. There's a good chance if you guys bring them to the island and say these Genasi get a little too curious or potentially accidentally get discovered, there's a good chance that the Rebirth Bastion would be the ones to find them and recruit them. With the destination at hand, you're not sure if it can support a small group of people like this, but you know, it's better than wading around in the water itself, and it sure as hell is a better alternative towards being stranded on many of the other islands around here, along with the potential of the Tidewind Channel bringing you to other locations across the Titan Sea. You could actually also have them travel by themselves, but then their lives are kind of in the air.
Sadly, I think our best chance is to not waste time, since I know we're on a deadline due to our, you know, other beings in a different place starving or not having enough nutrients. I think then above table, guys, I think the best course of action is to take them with us to our destination. And then once they're on land, we just let them manage themselves. We could make them allies, but the key thing is that we need to make a way that they could keep themselves alive, not just by water, but by food.
I mean, I guess at the very least, you know, I mean, I think regardless of which choice we do, but I would be more inclined to go in that direction. We would at least warn them about, being approached by individuals that promise them too much.
What are you saying? That if I'm promised power, I need to be cautious over it? Or safety in numbers? That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Caution to the wind!
Yeah. In actuality, they appreciate the advice and take it with nods.
I mean, unless you want to be like unwitting soldiers in a war you didn't sign up for, like, maybe just sit that one out.
You know, actually, I'm willing to offer you persuasion check with that specific wording. That, and I'll go a little bit more into detail here in a second, but let me offer it to Eddie here. Wow. At 25. So just to give you a little bit of background, looking at the wreckage, you see, sea elves, humans, or, you know, at least a hodgepodge of mainly humans and a few other races. Their corpses waving around in these tides. And you just see the remnants of a battle, of a war, of being used as a soldier. And this advice, like, sinks with your audience.
We will take that advice to heart, Mr. Eddie.
Good then. How's the... Just, like, Blink's chariot going?
Mavet and Sears Ball Court, how does it look?
So do you want me to put the engraving here or here? Or am I doing too much? Oh, we already finished 5 minutes ago. I just wanted to add more details.
Mavet attempts to write his name into the wood.
Yes, carving his name in potentially several dead bodies of his brethren.
It should be enough to have them all be dragged, but it means that we'll have to have more hippocampuses dragging the thing.
Aren't you illiterate, Mafet?
Well, he learned 13 letters, so he's attempting.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see.
Do we want to roll for which 13 letters?
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of curious about. I was thinking about like going A, B, C in order, but no, that doesn't make sense with Mafet.
Actually, you know what? Maybe they're like the 13 straightest letters in the alphabet.
Yep, that makes sense. So we see an H, we see a T, we see M you're most proud of. The rest is just hodgepodge.
It's like you just hate the letter A. It curves too much. Or at least lowercase A.
It is not natural. It looks like one of those, that old SpongeBob meme that went around where it's all the capitals and lower cases.
All right, all right. So you guys have your little crackhead chariot ready. Like, with fucking rope.
Okay, I would say it's better than crackhead, but okay.
Well, it's made from planks and rope from ships. It's crackhead level, I'm sorry. Like, even with a good check like that, this thing is not pretty. But if that's the case... So the main plan that the party has, I would assume, after making this chariot is just to bring them along with you until you get to your destination?
Correct.
That is the current plan, unless the place we wind up is, like, on fire. It's just like, maybe we won't leave them here. Or we immediately run into an evil cult. It's just like, you know, there might be some risks here.
So, like, the leader of the group... says to all of you,
you have our thanks. You didn't think we would ever escape. Tree Man looks towards Mavet. You are savior. Thank you.
My name's Mavet, not savior.
He doesn't correct the Tree Man. I love it.
All hail the violent saviors. Bahudor.
So if we are ready to set off, Mavet will uncork his decanter of endless water and say geyser to help fishy propel.
Geyser, huh?
I'm aiming it in the water, so because of the brackish water and the difference in densities, it helps push him forward.
Just going right into the fucking thing.
Now that just invented jet propulsion.
So you guys begin to travel. Moving forward, and along with your little crackhead chariot of 16 Storm Genasi and a lineup of... Because I assume you use all the hippocampus. Are they all tied together, or is it just tied to one?
I don't think we had realistically 50 or 100 feet between two ropes with four hippocampus. I don't see that working, so I just pictured it around fishing. That's why I'm using the decanter to help give him some strength.
Okay, yeah. Fishy, your hippocampus is taking a lot of this by themselves. I'm going to say that you're traveling at half speed right now with all the weight at hand. The waves are wild and crazy. There's been a few times where, like, you guys have had to stop because when the Storm Genasi got thrown off from your little chariot. But it goes relatively without incident, but your guys' pace is just take a little bit longer here.
Next time you fall off, we nail your hands.
Oh. 30 minutes go by.
That's a choice.
that is a choice. Yeah,
it is. They, for some reason, they're enthusiastically holding on to the chariot here with a little bit more vigor. The violence of the Messiah goes in mysterious ways.
Thank you for saving us. You're welcome. Don't let go or stab your hands.
But let's go over a few highlights along the way here. So I imagine the full party is like slowing down for Mavet. Like moving at half speed. Just like a relatively slow pace here. Would anyone like to give me just a snippet or a highlight for the journey?
I don't know, like maybe possibly between between Eddie and Seer, like since they're kind of like going at half speed anyway, like, you know, like they could probably maybe afford to like slow their hippocampus down to like near the chariot and possibly, you know, like more directly explain the situation that they're currently in and all the risks that come with that.
Okay. Yeah, you're giving them the rundown overall, and I'm just going to give you, you know, benefit of doubt. You don't miss anything. You get everything. But I just want to hear, like, maybe one or two highlights from that conversation.
So, like, you recognize that you're not what you used to be, right?
At first, we thought we were sharing a delusion. What we were seeing wasn't real. Thought we'd just gone so long without food and water. That our minds were playing tricks on us. I'm afraid that Reality is stranger than fiction.
Well, you're definitely going to experience more of that.
And you just see, like, a pained, like, look over his face.
Not sure that I can. I have a soldier's heart I've been dealing with. In fact, I've been seeking done to retire from the army and denied every time.
Takes in a deep breath, even though he doesn't need to. Exhales.
It appears that death was the only way to leave. Goddamn Imperials.
If you actually don't mind my asking, under whose army did you serve?
We were an armada for the Holy Lance. We were seeking to go northward to our destination, Frostheart. It was our orders to cause a bit of a disruption with their trade, cause a bit of an embargo. Fortunately, it's hard to fight an enemy that swims underneath the water, sinks, and causes holes in the hull. We didn't last long. Took a lot of the bastards out with us, but they took all of us out.
He shakes his head. I would say, this conversation piece in particular is, like, uncomfortable with your additional follower.
Just like a whistle, whistle, whistle.
Yeah, she's trying her best not to, like, engage with conversation or trying her best to ignore it, focusing on the rampant storm around her. But the man goes on.
Yes, they took us all down, and we...
And at this point, I'm gonna make a roll for this man. Wow. Natural 20, plus 3. The man did a history check, and the only reason why I'm offering this is one of the benefits that I'm going to offer to you guys as you travel, is this man provides you a bit of information.
Yes, now that I think about it, before we capsized, it's a bit strange. We're traveling with a unit of Holy Lances. Flying unit. They're riding on their wyverns amidst the storm, killing the sea elves. Crazy bastards, mind you. Hopped up on,
and you just see him just hesitate, reflect, and shock go over his face.
Hopped up on the remains of Genasi.
He looks at his own hands, and a little bit of a shudder goes through him. And this is going to go more towards Aluia and Mavet, because you guys did a survey of the shipwreck themselves. You will recall that there were sea elves that were on a sharp bit of rock as a surface, and each one was impaled with what looked to be a lance. And like I've mentioned before, it was a bit strange. Like, why? Where the fuck did the lance come from? Like, this was naval combat. It's starting to click with you that an aerial unit was assisting with combat, and you did not see their remains.
So she's like trying to steady clip clop because, you know, his eyes can't see too well. He's like moving in different directions. So gotta get him back on course. So you said you had like a unit that could fly with you, like killing the sea elves.
Yep, yelling over the storm, because I imagine, like, there's a little bit of distance. Eddie's the closest, everyone else is a little bit farther away, but everyone can hear the conversation. But yelling across, like, the storm itself, the man says,
"Yes, we had an aerial unit. They saw how strange the storm was and thought it'd be wise to eat the remains of Storm Genasi. They're braving through lightning bolts, brushing it off like it was nothing."
And I want to imagine at that cue we see blue lightning shock at the sky.
I haven't seen them since the accident.
Did any of them die too?
That's about it, with the, letting that natural 20 ride.
I don't recall seeing them fall in combat.
Damn it, Clip Clop, no, this way. Well, I guess we should be on the lookout for them too.
Sounds like, though, that we should be fearful of them, but who knows, maybe they'll be allies.
Yeah, I assume at this information, you guys are staring at the skies more, looking up along the clouds, just trying to see anything and everything. But just to go a little bit farther, because I want to give you guys more information, I'm going to say that is quite literally the calm before the storm. We see that the tides are calming down a little bit. We see a little bit of sunlight break through the sky. Storm just pauses, and it's only for a moment, because if you look all around you, you see that you guys are in like a pocket or a hole in the storm. What else do you guys have in mind here?
Wait, you're saying that they, like, were they still around when you all sunk? Or did the Holy Lance already disappear before that?
We capsized in the midst of combat. Last I saw, they were braving through the skies and sailing across the winds, impaling all that defied us. Kree's bastards.
As we were going around, if they did perish as well, they didn't seem to do so around your vessel.
They didn't perish in our general area. Riding high, casting down lightning with the storm.
I mean, I'm just kind of wondering if maybe they had slightly different orders than what you had.
I'm going to make one more fresh check here. Wow.
Now that you mention it, our orders were to go strictly north. Go towards Frostheart, Creighton Bargo. Stop any trade. But those riders, nary did they ever settle down on any of our boats. Unless it's an extreme situation. Be long swaths where they'd be away from us. Hell, they'd rest on random islands along the way. I do recall seeing smoke here and there.
And you see his eyes darken a little bit.
I think they had a more violent order than what we had. I think about it. I don't recall any combat that they had where they took prisoners or spared any lives. They've gone without mercy.
And I kind of want to imagine as we look at his thousand-yard gaze, we kind of see like multiple islands with like a smoke rising in the distance. It's not happening in current time, just him thinking back.
Many villages razed to the ground.
Yeah, you think you might be onto something here.
Yeah, it does seem like there were ulterior motives for them traveling with you. I think you were a distraction in more ways than one.
Just to set the scene a little bit. All of you are traveling across the water. You are having this conversation with the Genasi. And I'm going to say that entire like conversation happened over the course of the clearing in the storm. And as you guys begin travel again, the tides get crazed. Blue lightning dances across the air, and rain is pounding at your faces once more. It's deafening how much splashing is happening around them. As you come forward, you see a lot of jagged rocks that block your passing here. What makes this a little bit difficult is the water is a bit... The waves and tides are a bit unruly, like just in general, but the fact that you guys have a chariot of people looking at the rocks before you, you guys are a little bit more concerned about the people that you're escorting. So let me see some positioning here. Like, how's this looking as you guys are approaching?
So I'm picturing it where Mavet is kind of in the middle with someone in the back. And maybe two people in the front.
Okay.
So sounds like Eddie and me are in front, and then it'd be Aluia in the back.
Yeah, I'll be over here, because, you know, I've got steering issues, so...
Clip, clock, go, blah!
Okay. All right. So as you guys approach, with you, Mavet, like, at the moment, your steed can only move at half speed, because you are the one ferrying... these storm genasi around. Make sure you keep that in mind. For everyone else, let's have a little bit of a refresher here. Been a hot second. And that is... There we go. You guys have controlled mounts. They can dash, disengage, or dodge, and they share your initiative, just for simplicity's sake. Like, for your case, Mavet, although your steed is moving at half speed, I believe that they have 40 feet of swimming speed that they can use. They're 40 or 60. 50. No, I'm way off. But for your case, since it can only use half, it'd be 20. If you dash, it'd be 40. But yeah, like you guys approach these sharp rocks, what's your main plan? Because it looks like even far north to far south, like you just see like jagged rocks blocking your way.
I say going the shortest route possible.
Shortest route possible? You're recommending straight through?
Well, no, that would go straight through a rock, and I don't think I can do that. We'll go around the rock.
All right. Okay.
It's raining around us. I'm just going to make it so it's not.
Oh.
So we can see a little better.
Okay, how?
I have, with my ability to subtly control the weather, it's only within 20 feet of me, though.
Okay.
20 feet it is.
Is that a class feature or a cantrip?
That is a class feature. It's beautiful.
Like that.
Aluia is a beautiful person.
I'm sorry, Greg. What cantrip would give somebody the casual ability to control the weather?
Yeah, that I'm thinking, all right? Like, I just wasn't sure because it...
I spent years learning the spell control weather. Brah, you didn't need to do that. Just use a cantrip. Bam.
And all my rain. If you want the actual name of it, let me... it's my storm guide.
Storm guide. As an action, cause rain, stop falling. Wendy, bonus action. All right, I like that. Okay, level, yeah. And there's no amount of resources with this. This is just a thing they can keep propping off.
Can do it, just happens.
Because this is so specific, what I'm going to tell you, Aluia, is as you stop the rain, I'm going to say like a seagull like flies through your little bubble that you got going on here. Radius, and as it goes through, nothing happens. As soon as it leaves, you see like a lightning strike the bird immediately.
Oh, you should have stayed, little buddy. You should have stayed.
Yeah, that's just to show you and to reward you for like having a proper build for this. That lightning doesn't naturally occur in your radius, so long as you have this thing propped up. All right. So you do that, the rain does not enter your sphere, no lightning enters your sphere here. And Mavet, you're planning just to sail through like the center point of these rocks. Is that correct?
Yeah, we would be going through the lower half, or that little opening.
Yeah, show me your movements here. A little too crazy here.
I don't know how to draw it, but that was my intended path.
Place you right here. All right, because you're moving like that, the Genasi follows. What about everyone else? Like, we see, like, Mavet carefully making his way through this. In fact, Mavet, I would like an animal handling check from you. And it's specifically just because you're guiding this raft. I'll offer you the check here.
So, can I get a plus something because I'm using the decanter to help steer?
I was also going to say that we'd just be following Mavet, so wouldn't he also get an extra bonus from us helping them out?
I'll out with the advantage, but that's it.
Okay. Give me it.
I will give it to you. Stop scaring me. It
has to be now.
You guys, I'm starting to hyperventilate. You guys are scaring me.
It's a matter of life and death for these NPCs that really don't matter.
14. 14 is enough to go by this without any like a scathing or getting hurt. Let me see everyone else's positioning here.
You're doing good, Fishy.
Where's Aluia being, and where's Eddie gonna be?
I'll go towards the middle, so everybody can get hit with it.
I guess Eddie would probably be a little more toward the lead if they were at least done with their whole. Sorry, remind me, which direction are we moving?
To the west.
Okay. Actually, in which case, then. Wait, do you mean west or weast?
A little weastish, but mainly west.
Okay, that's why I was a little confused, because, like, I don't... Maybe Mavet did say they were at the front, so...
Yeah, Mavet is at the front, so he is, like, pure west right now.
Oh, okay, in which case, instead, Eddie will be more toward the back. Maybe just continuing his, discussions here or there with the group that they are, corralling, chauffeuring. We don't like have any snacks, but we do have cold indifference if you would like.
in reference to the kind of limo driver that just kind of just like rolls up the window.
Our sweet squid monster, I would say, is around the same area as Eddie and watching the Genasi warily. I guess at this point, I would offer everyone perception with advantage here. Yeah, this is what I'm going to give you. I know there's no, like, you know, special rules for a natural 20, especially with the skill checks, but in this one, I do kind of want to reward you a little bit. Aluya, in the distance, past the black clouds, I imagine, like, you're just feeling the storm, trying to feel for Aeolus, and as you just let the winds cocoon around you, and as you feel the storm itself, you just hear something unnatural within the weather. You just hear, boom, 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 and you're just thinking, thunder. Yeah, it just doesn't sound like the distant thunder you've been seeing. Look around, and in the distance, 160 feet away in the air, you see two draconic forms with what looks to be a blue sheen of scales within the lighting of the lightning within the sky. And I feel like that's what gives it away. There's a black sky and there's lightning that makes them glimmer and glow for a couple seconds each time. But what I'm going to offer everyone, I'm going to offer that this is going to be an encounter and that everyone may have a round before enemy combatants make it to the map here. So we're going to start off with Mavet as I'm getting things situated here.
So is the north or south landmass look more better for docking?
I would definitely say the north.
Then I will tow them to the north.
Okay. And they will retain the same distance with you.
And are they able to disboard from this spot?
If necessary, they would be able to.
I will go ahead and pull the rope a little closer so they're right up next to me. That way I can help them off if need be for the impending fight. And that will end my turn.
All right, so you're assisting them getting off. Is that correct?
Well, they're not getting off yet. I'm grabbing the rope and pulling it closer to Fishy so they would move a square closer to me.
You know what? Yeah, I'll give that to you. Happens.
And that will end my turn.
You see that Jen is coming up here, and I think she is going to mimic what Mavet's doing here. Steed would bring her over here, right over here, and she's also assisting like the Genasi, like get onto a rock out of the water. At this point, it's going to be Eddie's turn. Eddie, what do you do?
So, for clarity, they are currently off map, right?
Yeah, they're off map, and I will make them visible for your eyes, for your knowledge. They're going to be 160 feet. I'll bowl down both their turns for this round to getting here at the start of the next round. I'll give you guys a little bit more credit. Because it would have been one of their turns, and I'm going to say that because of that high roll from Aluya, that you guys notice them before they get their bearings here. So I'm going to say at this round, they're going to notice you guys, and it's just going to be a moment of indecision here. The very first rider you see to the south, as it appears on screen, he used his full movement to get onto this map. He has no actions, can't do anything, and he's currently flying 30 feet up in the air.
And you said there are two riders?
Yep. The second rider is still 160 feet away.
Okay, like one rider is 160 feet and the other one is...
Within range, 30 feet near, 30 feet from you as well. Well, yeah, 30 feet from you.
Okay, so essentially they weren't really traveling together. So yeah, Eddie's going to move over here with Seafire. he's actually now going to dismount Seafire and have them go underneath the water, as he is now just going to float there on his winged boots.
Okay.
And he is going to actually, how high are those rocks, by the way?
I'm gonna say the rocks themselves, the jutting rocks, it would be about 25 feet, just to be a little strange here. 25.
Oh, cool. I have an anchor.
There you go.
Eddie is going to cast web.
Okay, hell yeah. I like that. Okay, you cast web, and it will be a dexterity saving throw from them.
I mean, it'll be when they begin their turns.
Excellent. Yeah, so you spend your turn to do web here. I believe it's a 20-foot square, correct?
It is a 20-foot square, yes. And I am trying to position it in a way so that it has anchor so it doesn't, like, immediately disappear on my turn. It's just like, oh, wait, cool, I can do this. And then as part of his bonus action, then I'll say he'll poof Eddie right... I'll say here. And that would be the end of Eddie's turn.
Okay. And just to make sure I heard this properly, are you currently flying in the air? Are you a set distance in the air? I just want to make sure I didn't miss any numbers here, or if you're just staying surface level here.
Actually, think about it. He'll probably use his remaining 15 feet of movement to fly up here and also be 15 feet in the air.
15 feet.
I need to remember angles for aerial combat.
Yeah. And just to clarify, I believe that radius does encompass you from Aluya's guiding.
Yeah, it's a 20-foot radius sphere around her.
Perfect. For your knowledge, because again, like the synergy of everything that's happening here, you see like a dance, lightning dancing above you, almost like it would have struck you if you were not in this area as you're flying above here.
Thanks, Aluya. As he ends his turn.
That's fucking good. It's the Air Genasi's turn. They're all beginning to get onto a land here. I'm gonna say their dedicated action for this round is all of them are getting onto the rock out of the water. Right? It's going to be at this point where the second rider comes in onto the scene here. I will reveal them. Alright. Aluya, is your turn as you see both the riders coming onto the scene here.
Seeing this go down, Aluya is going to whip out Trollkin, and she will use Troll Friends Rally. I will post it up for you again.
And I believe you're using the feature that gives out temporary HP, is that correct?
Yep, they get temp HP, and they have advantage on attacks for 1 minute.
I don't remember what the temp HP was.
Oh, it's 66 plus my wisdom modifier, which is...
Yeah, 66 plus your wisdom.
66 plus 3, so I will roll that now.
I mean, I wouldn't say no to 66 temporary hit points, I mean...
just as a reminder, yes, the advantage does last for 1 minute, but once you guys lose those temporary hit points, so does the benefit.
I'm just gonna roll the 66 and then just run at 3.
Yeah.
Would you have another 1d6 if it could name all the trolls easily?
Hey, I put 6, but it only one roll.
Okay.
Happy, sappy, angry, dopey.
All right, everyone gets a 29 temporary hit points here.
I already did the plus 3. 26.
Oh, yeah, sorry. 26. I apologize. Please make sure you take off 6 charges from your little doll.
Okay. And then for positioning, I'm going to stay where I am because I like hitting a majority of people. Mavet has placed himself out of my range. Maybe I'll scoot up a smidge.
Yep. I want to imagine your hair is kind of rising with the storm here.
If it can be shifted a smidge, I can try and get Mavet.
All right. Then it's going to be Seer here.
Oh, not the dragon first?
No. They just to clarify, like all actions were used just to get onto the scene. Even the riders just beginning to notice you as they drive by here or fly by here.
Well, Eddie did trap one thing under the web, and we have Genasi's and this. I'm trying to figure out the best course of action. I mean, sadly, the one that's not webbed is the biggest threat, I think. I'm going to move my character up here. And are they wearing metal?
The dragon's more of a stretch, because you can argue that there'd be like bits of metal onto saddle, but I'm not going to go that far. I'm going to say like the knight definitely, the dragon not so much, or wyvern. I need to be very, very, very straight with my terminology here. The wyvern that he's riding does not have any metal on him.
Bear, rascal, little thing comes out. See that thing right there? Nods his metallic head. puts this little black pellet, hit that guy. And I cast heat metal onto the rider. And since he's completely covered in metal, he will not be able to escape.
All right. What's the saving throw one more time for me?
Oh, you want a saving throw? I hate to tell you this. There's no saving throw.
The effect happens regardless. The saving throw occurs...
Thing is, technically, well, actually, here's the thing that makes it evil, Mega. So if you're holding or wearing the object, they can make a con save, but they're going to take the damage no matter what. If they fail the con save, they have disadvantage on all attack and ability check rolls.
Oh, no, it's not if they fail, it's if they take damage.
Oh, you're right, I'm looking at it. So technically, he's fucked. And then, with my bonus action, I will just let Rascal say if the rider comes closer, shoot the rider, basically, with the bonus action.
I'll put Rascal on the scene here. You can position them where you want.
They're going to be on my shoulder.
Oh, sorry. When the... I'm trying to remember the timing of the... of heat. Yeah, it's like I don't remember if you have to use your bonus action on the turn that you use it, or...
So I use an action first, and then the next turns I have to use a bonus action to keep it up. So in this case, I don't need to use my bonus action right now. But right now, he takes 2d8 fire damage.
Yeah, when you cast the spell, then until the spell's end, you use bonus actions. Gotcha. Yep, that tracks. So he'll make the save, then following turns, you'll uphold it with bonus action.
Correct, but for now, he'll take damage.
Yeah, just make it super kosher.
All right. Is the positioning for Rascal good?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he has his own little initiative, doesn't he?
Correct. Well, actually, no, he shares an initiative, so he's fine.
Okay, shares your initiative. Gotcha.
But I will say... That rider just took a lot of damage. He took 14 fire damage.
Oh my god.
And then when it's his turn, make him roll a con save.
Oh my lord. Oh my god.
Look, I either, hey.
Yeah, no. It's just what I'm trying to understand is, yeah, like, I understand that it heats up the metal regardless. I'm just trying to understand if the first damage is without a saving throw.
Usually the saving throw is there for like the start of their turn so that if you have to roll everything at disadvantage or everything's fine.
All right. Okay. Here, I'll just put up the spell for myself.
Yeah, he'll put, if you look up the spell, it's basically on their turn, they take 2d8, but since I just cast it, it says when the spell is cast, they take 2d8, and then you could keep track of it through the enemy's turn or my turn. But on their turn, they need to roll a con save before they do
anything.
Yeah,
okay, the saving throw is just a hold on to it, then the bend. Yeah, okay, I'm starting to see.
The saving throw is basically, because, like, the saving throw does not affect the damage, it does not affect whether it has the disadvantage or not. The only reason that the saving throw even, like, applies to anything is if they can manage to hold on to whatever thing that they... Because, like, if they're, like, holding a sword or something, it's like, and if they fail, then they would be forced to drop the item.
I'm basically turning him into a toaster.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. Anything else on your turn?
I might just say to Eddie, I might need your brain for a moment if I need to do the second one. I plan to maybe be able to juggle multiple things. And that'll be the end of my turn.
Oh, remember, you have that on Rascal right now.
Oh, beautiful. All right, never mind.
So, at initiative 20, we have a lair action, which is just represented by the regional effect. And we see lightning cascade down from the clouds itself, striking both the knights and both the wyverns that they're riding. And you guys see, like, a crackling glow around them as, again, it doesn't seem like a... They're hurt by this. In fact, they look a little bit more energized. You see, like, a slight twitching to their digits and gauntlets, and you just see that their weapons taking on a lot of electricity that just cascades down the shaft of their lances.
All right. So I have a question. This peak that Seer is near, is that easily climbable, or is it jutting out of the water? Is it like a cliff face, or what?
Yeah, I'm going to keep it the same thing. Imagine it like a slanted 45-degree angle, like a jutting rock. And I'm going to keep numbers the same here. It's going to be 25 feet up.
I got 45 walking speed. I should be able to make that.
All right. Just because it is a bit of a slanted rock, I'm actually going to need a... what's a good one for keeping acrobatics here. Want to say straight dexterity check, but I'm going to go more towards acrobatics, although you're not performing any stunts. It's more of, maintaining your balance in this harsh weather, because you got sleek stone that you're traveling across.
Okay.
Well, just would you still like to go along through with this, knowing that you're going to have to make a check?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm.
And 25 feet up in the air, I believe that brings you outside the radius that Aluya's creating here. Am I correct with that?
If he's 25 feet up in the air, there's no mathematical way for him to be in the aura.
You are aware of that, correct? My bad.
I've already took my hand off the chess piece.
Well, luckily for you, I made it very clear that it's not about how high you are. It's whether or not you're flying is how I'm dictating this clear mechanic here. You are perfectly fine.
And I got nothing conductive.
Please remind me about that. I'll put a little check on your box here.
Just, don't stick your arm up in the air.
Yep, that was more than enough. I had a 14 in mind for the DC there. If you would have failed, you would have been prone. But now you're 25 feet up in the air. I'll represent that for you.
We'll go ahead and use my decanter of endless water, uncorking it, and saying geyser, pointing it at the rider of the wyvern.
Yeah, DC 13 strength saving throw. Is that the correct thing that we're going for here?
Yeah, to knock him off, knock him prone, which I'm assuming that knocks him off his mount.
Actually, I think it's a strength save, unless I'm misremembering the
item. DC 13 strength saving throw.
Did I say something different?
You said dexterity.
Yeah, I meant to say strength. Yep, and pushes, 30 feet of you. Trying to see how far away they're pushed. It's
to knock him off the mount, because I'm aiming it at him, not the mount.
Yeah, and fall prone. That's the important part, is 1d4 bludgeoning damage and fall prone. Hang on, let me check my own wording here before I proceed. Are you fucking serious? Hang on.
Oh wait, doesn't he have disadvantage on strength saving throws because of the heated metal?
Hang on. Oh my fucking god.
It's only disadvantage on attack rolls and ability checks.
Okay, just reveal the cards here. I had a unique mechanic with these guys towards just forced movement in general, but prone didn't really. Strength saving throws and the prone condition didn't really chase through my mind, so yeah, let's fucking do this.
Oh, did you give them an ability so that I couldn't force movement them off of their
mounts? No, I'll explain it either post combat or during combat. I had a unique mechanic that I wanted to fucking do here, but they super fucked. Let's see. It was disadvantaged because of heat metal, is that correct?
So close.
Yeah, you got an effective method of knocking them out of their fucking mount. Okay. Okay. And is there anything else with decanter water? I believe it's either save or suck, right?
Yeah, save or suck.
It's save or suck, and then that would have been his action and bonus action.
Yep, that sounds about correct.
And that will end my turn.
Okay. We move on to the one that's trapped, who needs to make a dexterity saving throw or be restrained here.
Well, unless this is applicable, both it and the mount have to make that save.
It is an independent mount, and it'll make it on its turn.
You have them as an uncontrolled mount?
It is an independent mount.
Uncontrolled mount.
Yeah, uncontrolled mount, yes. All right, let me look at the spell here. It is each creature, dexterity save. What's the DC I'm going against here?
16.
16, all right. Oh my god. Yeah, that is a failure.
So in which case, he is restrained.
Yep. Oh my god. Yep. And I believe it's an action to attempt a secondary one.
Correct. But it's a strength check against the DC.
Oh. Okay. Oh, hang on.
I love when Gray is like, this is going to be a hard encounter, and then suddenly...
Yeah.
One creature's restrained, another one's on fire, the other ones are like just not done anything yet.
Yep. And it's so unfortunate too, because we see the electricity wreathing around his lance, and it goes unused. And you see as its turn ends that the electricity dissipates from the lance. That would be the end of its turn right here. Genlevia. Yep. Jell here. What she is going to do. remind me, Aluya, you have your spear out, your weapon out, correct?
Yes.
You see that your weapon gets wreathed in flames by at the tip, and you gain a property to add 1d6 fire damage to your attack rolls. As we see Jell to the top left here. She's just whispering something underneath her tentacles, and as she raises up her hand, you see a briny mist go around your spearhead and ignite it. Eddie, it's your turn.
Okay. So I guess then, like, the wyverns themselves are on their own initiative, or...
Yeah.
I mean, I guess then... Yeah, I think just for the time being, since I don't really know... I'll piece it up. I'm actually going to experiment just to see what happens, since, you know, I will fire an eddy blast at the rider on top there.
Yep.
I should probably actually target it.
Yep. You can hover over and press T for short. A hockey.
Okay. Yep. Just miss. Gonna try again, I guess.
Yep. Wow. It's a 26. All right. Okay. Before you apply damage, this is what I do need to mention. This is information for everyone else. It appears with a attack roll. The knight itself brandishes its shield and redirects the attack at its mount, being a twist of the mounted combatant feat. Instead of redirecting it towards himself, it redirects it towards his fucking mount. But that being said, if you choose to move the creature, Eddie, you'd be moving the mount, and he would have to make a dexterity save to maintain his balance on his creature. I believe it's a DC 10 dexterity save off the top of my head, if you choose to move him.
So I would choose just to specifically move it 5 feet.
Okay, I like that. Let's deal with the damage here, because that you've redirected the hit. It definitely hits the wyvern.
Yeah, deal 12 force and 4 bludgeoning.
Ooh, the creature moves back, and it will. The rider will make a dexterity saving throw. Restrained, I believe that's disadvantage on dex saves. Am I correct with that, or is that even an automatic fail?
No, that is correct. I just couldn't remember if it was a save or if it was an acrobatics check.
It's a DC 10 dex save. Wow! Holy shit! Okay, we might actually be able to finish this combat, because now it's a...
Okay, damn it.
He fucking falls. How high up was he? 30 feet. I said the rocks jutting was 25, but it knocks off. Hits. Goes down. Okay. You know what, Mega? I'll allow for it. Explain how the knight falls into the water.
I mean, does he fall into the water, or is that water, or is that, like, craggly rocks below?
It's craggly rock, but the way I have it in my head is it's slanted, he's going to be hitting down, bam, 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 then just rolling out into the water.
Well, yeah, no, just, like, I'm just imagining, like, I'm trying to remember that cartoon, like, you know, where it's just, like, plam, and it's just, like, plam, plam, plam. And then finally, like, in agony, finally reaches the ground, rolls. And...
Yeah, just is submerged underwater, and because of his armor, he gets all the issues with being heavily armed within water.
Oh, God.
It's just putting this on the watcher.
Got him in one.
Yeah. There we go.
Oh, that's so dumb.
Okay, 30 feet. Yeah, that's 30 feet up. Anything else on your turn here?
I mean, I'm trying to think if there's anything I want to do with my bonus action, and I guess, you know what? Fuck it. I'll see if I can actually do the same thing to the guys on the other side, I guess.
Okay.
It's like hitting the other rider, you know, and I guess still with advantage because of the...
Yep. For my case and purposes, just target the dragon. If you hit, he's gonna reach.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that tracks.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, for reference' sake, quicken spell, extra eldritch blast. It's like a clickety clackety. There's an attackety.
If the rider falls into the water, he literally is like a lobster that fell into a pot of water.
Wow. Yeah, that's a fucking hit. See the damage, 5 feet back.
I mean, I could might as well just do the full 10 feet, because I only did the 5 feet so that the wyvern would still be in the range of the web.
Gotcha. I like that.
You know, if I can even waste a little bit of the potential movement, I might as well. 7 force.
Yep, some force that fully goes through. And we have a dex. Are you fucking serious? Okay, it saves. Barely. It saves. The skin of his fucking teeth saves.
It's a hit one more time.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's a hit. 10 feet back.
With 11.
Yep. 11 is a hit. We see like scales bursting off from the creature, and you see pale white-ish skin. It's not the pink that the ladies have seen with Grimmer, but with this breed, it almost looks like human skin.
Ah, but which case, one more save just for the...
Thank you. Yep.
Come on, eat shit, eat shit, eat shit.
I was hoping we'd just forget about it. No, there we go. 23. He's holding on to his reins as the wyvern is pushed back.
You survive this round. Or do you? Action surge!
Oh my god.
I will make two more attempts.
Do it!
Fucking damn it.
You have fed the beast, Gray. Oh,
a natural 20. Fucking 20.
11 force. Oh, 10 feet back. New save.
Oh my god.
Oh, this is so fucking amazing.
It's like you're driving a car and then suddenly the car moves sideways and you're like, huh?
Still making it.
All right, one more attempt.
Oh god, yeah, 19, 27, adjusted, yep.
This is a machine gun.
10 more feet back, a new save, god. 12 force damage.
Oh. If he falls off, I'm not letting go of concentration.
19! He's sticking with
him. Oh, yeah, no, please, keep concentration on him. It'll be hilarious to see him try to swim with disadvantage.
I cast haste. Shoot again, I'm joking.
Oh my fucking
Look,
God.
I'll accept knocking somebody 40 feet back and dealing, honestly, pretty high on the average for damage. Okay. That'll be it for Eddie's turn.
Not quite. We see the Genasi, and let me tell you guys the boon of having these people, although they're not active participants with the battle. They're rallying you on, cheering at you guys to save them, and seeing the devastation that Eddie is laying down on these people. If you choose to do so, Eddie, you may use your reaction to gain essentially a one action. So essentially you could make an attack with a melee weapon.
Oh my god.
Maybe use your bow, or you could cast a spell.
He just shot himself in the foot. Do it.
You can.
Do it.
As a reaction, cast a spell.
You know what? Sure. I won't say no to one more Eddie Blast.
There you go.
Well, technically, if it's an Eddie Blast, that means you get to cast it two times.
Yeah, 2 times. Yep, that's correct.
Do we get extra XP for this marvelous encounter?
You don't understand the amount of XP you guys are going to get if it keeps going this fucking way.
Here we go.
Yep.
26.
And feedback.
It takes...
5 damage.
5 damage, 10 feet back. New save.
The wyvern is bloodied. All half of its scales are gone. And what I will say is...
Yay!
Ha! Eat shit!
Before we get to that, I will say, like, on its wing, because it is a wyvern, it doesn't have wings on its back. Its wings are part of its arms. And you see, like, draconic hand, much like that of a bat. You see the scales piercing away, and you see fingernails and digits like that of a human.
Ew.
Oh, okay, now this needs to die. It is an abomination.
takes off its scales, its finger, its set of scales, its fingers covering the entire body.
Wait, one step at a time here, we'll deal with the fall damage. That's, he's 30 feet up, and this is going to be a 3d6 bludgeoning damage onto the knight as he falls into the water. He is prone inside the goddamn water. Okay. Seven.
And then I hit the wyvern one more time for a total of 7 force and knock it back 10 more feet.
Yes, sir. All right. I'll make sure the other guy is prone as well. 5, 10, 15. It is my poor boy.
That poor boy is literally now in water being steamed to death. Yeah, I don't think they're going to live at all. I'm sorry to say this.
Just to put more context into this, since Eddie has now made 8 Eddie blasts in this one turn, just like Eddie just kind of like, honestly, like, you know, like probably like imitating like some mafioso comic that he read as a pup, just like, it's like, oh wait, hold on, I've got this. As like he like holds up both fingers and pew pew, and then turns around pew 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 pew. And it's just like they all like, you know, like the blasts are coming towards just like the wyvern and the rider's like, oh shit. Then the fifth one, ah! And then the wyvern like blasted further back.
God fucking damn it. All right, so let me put a little bit of context into this. No longer has a rider. It, from what you guys can tell, it's an abomination. And if I haven't mentioned before, I'm going to really like put it out here right now. The rider was fighting to keep this thing under its control or guiding it. I won't go into the nitty gritty about the mechanics of how they synergize together, but needless to say, without it on its back, we see the rider down below screaming at the wyvern, and it's going to have to make a animal handling check as a reaction.
At disadvantage.
Now he can roll the con save.
Yes, thank you. That's really
good. DC 19, by the way.
Oh, hang on. It's not... Okay, let me clarify. It's not the rider's turn yet. This is a reaction that he's doing out of his turn. But not quite yet, but it's going to happen very, very soon. But animal handling, disadvantage to call for the wyvern, the DC in mind.
Did it pass?
For the audience, I didn't bother describing the rest of the scene. I just moved the token to the far right of the map as it's flying.
Like the wyvern was just like, fuck this shit, I'm out.
It's its turn.
You know, in fairness, these riders were very abusive. Like, literally, like, directing all the attacks at the wyvern. Like, I don't think I'd stay.
I feel your pain, Gray.
Well, it's too far away to do its cool move with its lance. It's not in the right position right now, and it's currently struggling to swim. Hey,
At least it wasn't, you know, like a wild magic opening up a hole and somebody pushing somebody into that hole.
Oh, fuck it all. What's the rules for swimming in heavy armor? Is it just, let's see, swimming speed? He does not have swimming speed. I assume it's half movement, disadvantage. Like, he has a lance and he's no longer on his mount. He also has a shield on, so that is very disadvantaged with the attacks. Range attacks automatically. Not that smart underwater.
Actually, if I'm remembering correctly, like, can he even... I'm trying to remember if he can even hold the lance and the shield together since he's not mounted anymore.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm thinking of. He's definitely going to have to spend an action to doff his shield. That's 100% what's going to have to start off here. Regardless of any mechanics, the way I'm seeing this is he's in water. He's going to drown soon. He needs to take this shield. So he's doffing off the +1 shield. All right.
I mean, hey, that's like a full -3 to his AC, you know.
I think what he is going to try to do is he's going to try to swim. Yeah, it's because he's prone. That's why I was looking at the speed. I was like, why the fuck does it say 15? Yeah, he's prone in the water. He needs to straighten himself out, spend half of his movement. And with 15 feet of movement left, he's gonna move.
He can only move one square.
Yeah, one space for his turn. Oh, yeah, it's your turn. What the fuck are you doing in this train wreck?
He's still up and about.
You could say that.
What about his buddy? Did he sink, or is he somehow making it.
Same situation, submerged in the water.
Okay, I'm going to do a twin spell on Chromatic Orb.
Okay.
And I will...
Before you target someone, I need to know the target before you make any rolls here.
The target would be both of them.
Oh, both of them. Okay. So with the dragon, you're perfectly fine. With the knight, because of how the map's oriented and all the jagged rock, I'm going to give him half cover.
Oh, then I'm just going to scooch.
Which is just plus two to his AC.
I'm just going to scooch to try and get
it. Yeah, if you reposition yourself, yeah, fuck it. Yeah.
By the way, is the other guy still... did the other guy take his turn, or is he... the one by the rocks, has he taken a turn yet?
Yeah, he's already taken a turn this round. He had to deal with your web. That ended up taking his action economy.
Oh, no. Oh, okay, right. No, what I was... what I'm remembering is... because he's probably still prone in the water.
Yes, he's still prone in the water.
So it'll be a straight roll for him, but then the other guy that's in the water, you still have your advantage.
Okay. I'm trying to think of what other sorcery points I was going to use. I'm going to twin spell. We're going to go at... Let's kick it up a higher level. So we'll do... Just because 5th level, spend my 5 sorcery points. And I'm also going to quicken it.
Okay.
No, wait. Yeah, it's a quicken one is not quicken it, which is the one that I can use it as a bonus action.
That'd be quicken, but it's 2 first level spells by the sounds of it, unless you're using the cantrip.
The bigger problem is that you can only cast. If you choose to use quicken spell, then with your action you can only use a cantrip.
Yeah, that was gonna be what I was gonna do.
And on top of that, you can't use 2 metamagic options on the same spell unless it specifically says that you can.
Got it. So I'm just gonna do my twin spell chromatic orb at 5th level.
Yep. But yeah, both of them are perfectly fine. You can do both with advantage. Okay. There we go. Wow. Yep. 17. That's a hit. What are you gonna do?
I'm going to change the damage type to cold, ice.
Gotcha. Oh my god, 78 there. Reading that correctly.
So 31 cold?
Yes. And then do this guy.
Yeah. 1 second, I'm just... Hey, where the fuck is that going then? Okay. Oh, that's why. He's... Alright, 31. I just... Wayne, how you crippled this man. Before you move on to the next one, he's still alive. It's just walking away from this combat, you've ruined this person's life, and you should probably feel bad.
No, maybe they shouldn't have rolled up on us.
Because pity is the last thing I have as a weapon.
So I position myself in Clip Clop, and off of Clip Clop's back, I gently raise up, and the air around me feels chilled, and I take my spear that's on fire and I point it towards this guy and lob off this little ball of ice, and as it gets closer to him it gets bigger and bigger, and then it just explodes on impact.
Oh Jesus. Okay, so which one would you... So you're going for the dragon next, because I will say there is a very good chance if you target him again that you would end his life.
I'm okay with
that. The odds are within your favor. Okay, just want to make sure. Leave the meat for someone else. Gotcha. All right. Dragon, that's flying off. Let's see it.
Well, even then, with twin spell, it has to be a different target anyway.
Oh my god!
That's a natural 20 in both ends.
Roll the 14d8. End my life.
Oh my god.
Oh god. You know what? While you're rolling all that damage...
It's almost a shame it didn't hit the knight.
Oh my god.
In explaining how you eradicate this wyvern, I'm gonna explain something. It is dead beyond dead. You went over its HP by a lot. So explain the kill for me.
Same thing, the air gets chilled around me. I'm still floating up in the air, but this time when I lob it off, you can see my face was like, oh, a little too much, and it becomes this massive ice ball that smacks into this wyvern, and instead of just hitting it, it like hits it so hard it explodes.
Jesus. That it happens. that happens. Anything else on your turn?
No, I'm good. Everyone's got their temp HP, everyone's got advantage, and one thing is dead, one thing is making poor life choices. It should swim away, but we'll see. I'm good.
Okay. It is the other Wyvern's turn, and it's going to make a dexterity save. Still within the web. Remind me once more on the DC, buddy.
16.
Matter 6 is a failure. It is restrained. And because it is flying and it doesn't have a hover, I believe restraint gives you zero movement, so he would fall.
Yep, it falls.
Dealer's choice. Do you want it to land on the craggy ground, or would you prefer it fall into the water? Leave it up to you.
I would actually probably prefer the craggy ground, because it, because then its token is still big enough to actually still be restrained by the web.
Okay. I'll give that to you. It's still high numbers. 9 bludgeoning damage as it goes to the ground. And it is currently prone.
Okay.
It is going to spend an action to try to get out. I believe it's a strength saving throw.
It's a strength check. I don't know if it even has saves, but...
And, normal. There's no advantage, disadvantage, just crit roll. Jeez, fuck. I assume 11 fails.
It fails.
All right. That's going to be the end of its turn. Seer, it's your turn. What do you do?
So I won't kill the wyvern, because I know, like, above table, I know I shouldn't be doing like this, but I know Mavette wants to use an ability that he mentioned in the Discord chat. So what I'm going to do is something very, 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 very evil. Hippocampus literally will lead me over by Aluia over here with the little, you know, my little Spanky following me. I'm going to let the guy in the back boil as I go to this other guy. And I just simply look upon the Wyvern Rider and being like, so, you have a choice. You either come willingly as a prisoner or just die. Your choice starts now.
Did I do the 2d8 damage for the knight? I feel like we skipped over that. No, hang on. That should have been done.
It's like she need if you already did it for when she cast it, then now would be the time to do it, because like she would need to use her bonus action.
That's why I haven't said. That's why I haven't started it yet, because I'm double checking what this person's gonna say. The one that is not boiling alive. It's the guy that's like fell off his wyvern and is kind of like, currently only took 5 steps.
I'm gonna give you benefit of doubt. I'm not even gonna have you make a check. Hang on. It looks like you guys crushed his morale. For the audience, I did a wisdom saving throw, and I rolled a 7, got a 6.
Then for the time being, I hope you don't mind being imprisoned. Spanky shoots the web at them, since I can hold 2 concentration spells. Launches it out of their mouth like this giant web to shoot this guy with it. Basically, I'm stacking a web on top of a web.
Yeah, gotcha.
And... But it's now bigger, so instead of just covering the wyvern, it will also cover him. So basically, I'm restraining him... mainly.
Okay. He is going to use his reaction to do animal handling for his mount here. And I'll explain why here in a second. Normal roll, because he's not the one burning. No, I had him as a DC 10. The wyvern itself is going crazy, trying to break out of its restraints, you just see the knight just going,
hold! Stand down! Stand down!
See it stopping for a moment, simmering down a little bit, but just glowering at all of you.
Then I will also drop concentration on the heat metal on the other person so that, well, he can't really fight. He's basically burnt to a crisp. His wyvern's dead, and if he tries to fight us, he's gonna die. So drop concentration on boiling him.
Okay, someone give me a finishing note for this session then, because this sounds like where the combat's going to end here.
I would say, honestly, in this finishing note, very much as this guy is wrapped in web with his wyvern and the other man desperately swimming to the rock with the Genasi sparing above him as they pull him onto the rocks, the group will relocate themselves on top of this big rock surrounding the one man that's been burnt, and probably with maybe Mavette actually watching the wyvern and the other man that's restrained in webs.
Yeah, and that's a note we'll end off for today. Thank you guys for sticking with me until the end of the session, and I really appreciate it.
This has been House Common Blood. The intro and outro music is Oh My Dog by Savik. and any other music and sound effects used in the episode are royalty-free. Credits can be found in the episode description. Please review us on whatever podcast listening app you happen to be using, and if you like us, tell other people. Word of mouth is the best way for us to grow. Thank you for joining us. Aeolus guide you.